that. I finally got that back from an architect. That's for the
fire.
The veneer on the fire station. Gotcha. He suggested to go with tin, not brick. I think I told somebody it was you.
I think it was all of us in the last meeting.
Did I? So this is some plans with tin for the bottom 7 feet. So we went a little bit taller to get underneath that, or up to that edge, that double out. So I believe them are ready to go. I've also got the specs. With your guys' blessing, we'll just go ahead and get that invited to get us a quote for.
Okay, have them get us a quote.
I will, get with Matt, because that's going to fall into one of them. Do you bond it? Do you not bond it?
Yeah, because we're probably going to be, because it's $7,500.
And it's going to be, yeah, it's probably about 50.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Then yeah.
Yeah.
Then, but I can't remember where Tim was or Matt was at on that. Because you really don't have to bond anything if it's not bridges or streets. That was my understanding. Or you didn't have to
bid. We bond everything.
You have to bond everything over 75.
We don't, it's bidding.
So, having said that, that one is the... That's Tom's design for the storm drain.
Okay. So that way, if it doesn't work, it's Tom's fault.
Wow. Is that how that works?
Excellent.
If my name's on it, I'm going to go out there with some instruments and start checking some shit.
I got some other things I'm going to attribute to Tom then.
I got to say, to me, out of all the ideas that we've heard, this is probably the best one that's the cheapest.
Okay.
I mean
the big unknown is if the groundwater... If the groundwater overrules us.
Right.
But the amount of water that we're talking that comes off this building or out of this building, we should never see it surface. I mean, we're going 11 foot deep.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And big boulders around it. So,
okay.
I've got a list of invites on that.
Okay.
So I'm hoping, I can't remember what I do. So we should have the quotes by September 19th.
Okay. And should give them plenty of time to get the work complete.
We wanted to wait till late fall to let the groundwater down,
okay.
That type of stuff, the timing.
I don't know if it will this year.
Well, down further than it was. It's at least below the sod right now.
Okay.
So
Todd, I'm not... We discussed rain gutters or the thing out over the roof. I mean, over the doors on this.
A dormer over the door.
Over the doors. Which did you decide?
Dormer is what we're looking at doing on that one that where they enter.
Yes. Enter.
Right.
Yes.
Roger's getting me a quote for that.
Because that seems to me it would fall in line with this tin thing. Yes? No?
Yeah, probably not. Because we're working the bottom 7 feet with that. Roger's got a plan on a dormer that he's done on some previous buildings, and I'm going over to talk to him about that as soon as I leave this meeting. That material is here. Yep, it is here. Yep.
Okay.
They rolled it out and they rolled it wrong, and now they've got new metal.
Like a half inch short.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, Jesus.
So,
but the guy that came with the trailer, he knew he messed up. And then went and said, hey, I think I messed up.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, at least he owned up to it.
Yeah, it actually, I mean, it was, you got to give it to him.
Yeah, you got to give him the kudos for owning up to it.
Yeah, so they're back out here doing it.
Yeah, rather than blaming it on somebody else.
So I will... The only difference on that, we may go closer to the building instead of toward the fiber once we have everything located out there.
Because you're going to get some sloughing.
Yeah. So, and I know maintenance is worried about, at least part of maintenance is worried about the sod, so we address that as part of this package to
Okay.
Take care of that.
Yeah, if it gets tore up, I mean, we'll want to put it back down or replace it.
Yeah, I gave them the option. They can either cut it, roll it, put it back, or just get new sod.
Or just put new sod on.
Depending on whatever's cheaper, so.
Yeah. Okay. Good. What else?
I believe that, oh, the famous Questar gas line that we didn't have an easement for, didn't own the property.
Yeah.
What a gaggle. I'm sorry, I don't know how else to put it. They said, well, Marbleton owns that. We don't need an easement after all this time.
Really?
And I had Scott Sherbel go out and do a bunch of survey to get an easement written up. And then I get a phone call from Questar saying, well, if Marbleton owns that property, all we have to do is have them say that it's okay. So that line should be getting run.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
How much is the survey going to cost?
I think he was in it like $278. He didn't get too far.
Okay.
But see, there's no property corners, there's nothing down there, because I was just going to write a description based on paper survey, so to speak. There's nothing down there. So, anyway, they thought BLM owned it, even though I sent them the paper showing that BLM gave that to Marbleton. Marbleton, in turn, gave part of it to the county. It just took a while to get it sink in, apparently.
All right. So that's back on.
So that's back on. So they should be getting their service. I mean, the props, I know they've run them. So.
Yeah. All right.
That project's moving forward. And I will, like I said, I'm headed across the street right now to talk to Roger.
Okay.
About the dormer, and we can go from there.
Very good. Andre?
Nothing too wild. Big Piney Library, we're going to be looking at the lights over there. Todd's going to look at them.
Okay.
All the lights are bad. Right. Keith spent an entire day there and only got a quarter of them done. He says they're just falling apart, and they're all burnt on the ends, and
okay.
It's awful. So we may have to redo all the lights in there.
All right.
Ice rink, we're getting ready to put the ice on, or start the process of putting the ice on next week, it looks like. And I hired an ice rink manager, and I'm really excited about it. So,
what's his name?
Grant Golden.
Okay.
And he's really excited.
Good.
And I think he's going to do great.
Excellent.
So okay. We're going to get some real use out of that place.
Get that building being used.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
good. Did you
used.
Have a little chat with the hockey board?
I didn't. I called Sam immediately after I talked to you and let him know, and he's trying to put a meeting together to talk to them.
Okay.
So.
Anything that gets that used, we are in favor of it.
Yeah.
Anything that gets turned away from that being used, we are against it.
Yeah.
Just pass that along to him.
I think he that's what kind of exactly what I told him. I said, listen, we're putting all this effort in,
yeah,
including spending more money so we can get more use out of the building.
That's
and
right.
One little board is going to push someone away that really wants to come down and do some more activities here.
Yeah.
That's nobody's happy with that. And I told
let them know that does not work for us.
And well, I'm not happy with that.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's a lot of effort for them to see someone push back. Like
yep.
That really
exactly.
Aggravates me. So.
Cool. Well, hopefully they'll get the message. If they don't, have them come talk to us.
Okay. I will.
Thank you.
Yep.
All
that's
right.
It.
Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate
thank
it.
You guys.
See you guys. Bought you 18 minutes, Joe.
No,
yeah, we bought you 15 more minutes.
All right.
Come on up front and center.
How long a distance is that going to cover?
It's probably.
Yeah, so you can see.
It's not mine. No. Better lady going that way out there. This is not to the voucher, but it's for the materials on the roof. That I want to talk to before I say this. I'm
assuming I'm up.
You are. Go ahead and have a seat there. You're...
Well, my reason for asking about the distance on the Marbleton Questar pipeline is, assuming that we move forward with a long-term plan to improve broadband, anytime any construction is going on, we should be looking at the potential of either putting conduit in the ground with it, or having a proximity to poles where we can attach the poles in the future. The bike path would have been a wonderful example of throw three or four pipes in the ground under the bike path, and we would have had several miles of conduit in the ground ahead of us, and that's normally about a $55,000 a mile cost to build new conduit. Before I get started, at least we are not designated the worst internet in America. In
really?
I'll
be darned.
What are we like?
Sagooch County in Colorado. Yes, where yeah. This report, which was done by University of Arizona and Iowa, based on FCC data.
He's got a lengthy discussion, so they'll just have to come in and on the second half of it. Otherwise, we cut his presentation down quite a bit.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, just the way it is. Yeah, go ahead.
So I came in prepared for 3 hours.
Exactly. I know.
I actually have 44 slides. So, okay. Sagooch, however it's pronounced, County, Colorado, is designated, according to this study, based on FCC data, as being the worst internet in America. Coincidentally, it's a CenturyLink-served area.
I'll be darned.
And CenturyLink has done nothing to improve the service for years, so a couple of locals have started their own internet service company putting up, if you read the article, they're putting up towers all over the place, small towers generally. It's more of a flat environment than we have here. So,
where do we rank?
This doesn't rank us, but it does say several counties in Wyoming are pretty bad, a couple of counties in Montana and South Dakota. Interestingly, last week several of us got an email from Albert Summers saying, hey, I'm up in the smallest county in Montana, and they have fiber to the home. So I spoke with the general manager of the telecom company up there. They got CAF funding 2.5 years ago. They built a fiber route down three of the major roads within the county. They put fiber into the ground. They pre-planned for fiber to the home, and they went a short distance down some of the smaller county roads with the funding they got, and then a lot of the ranchers wound up putting some type of a fiber from their location down to the road where they could meet the fiber.
Okay.
There's lots of ways to deploy fiber to the home. I'll get into that a little later. I'm going to wind up skipping through a bunch of the slides. That's why I'm leaving the list over here. My project outline had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 points in the project or in the contract. For today, some of those points had sub-points. I'm not going to cover the entire 9 items or 9 points within the contract. I'm going to cover briefly the current broadband situation. I'm going to discuss the potential service provider interviews that we went through for talking with them about deploying broadband within the county. A couple of maps and discussion about where there is fiber or broadband that exists within the county or close adjacent to. I have outlined both a very short description of both a short and a long-term strategy. I then have quite a bit of discussion on options. And the options are not just short-term, they're long-term as well. Basically, I have the results of the speed tests we did. Based on documentation filed by the carriers, primarily the incumbent, as well as One other service provider that does file or has been filing the FCC forms, 477, downtown Pinedale in about a 2 mile radius is supposed to have from 8 to 9.9 megabit download. Mm. And 0.8 to 1.1 upload.
Is that the people that responded to the survey?
No, this is according to what the FCC has information saying that is available.
Yeah, you've got my information, and you know what mine was for downtown Pinedale.
So the information that's been provided is significantly higher than what you would expect, except for Pinedale itself. What is the current broadband situation? In the last couple of years, we've had several wireless companies come in. You guys know because you keep seeing applications for putting towers up. NGL has broadband that covers Pinedale, Marbleton, Big Piney, and basically they are selling two different options, 10 megabit down, one up, or 25 down and three up. And from here out, I'm not going to go up and down. I'm just going to go the high number and the low number. LR Computers, that has been doing a great job within Pinedale, they're selling 10 down, one up, 25 and three. And they have a they indicate that they're covering Pinedale and just starting to cover Cora, and they're looking to put up a new tower in to serve the Daniel area. Wyoming.com, why is that blank? Wyoming.com has service in the Pinedale area. They are offering 10 and 1 or 25 and 3. Visionary, which was a sleeper because they've primarily been providing service to businesses only within the county, they have 10 down and 1 up, 50 down and 3 up in both Pinedale and Marbleton, and Big Piney. They are waiting for a permit to allow them to put up a tower in Bondurant, and if, assuming they do get approved, that tower will be able to reach some of the Hoback Ranch locations based on the height they're going to have the tower and the hill, you know, the terrain. Silver Star, although they're not currently providing service in the county, Silver Star has committed to come into the county. They have committed to go after the CAF funding. They have committed to go after USDA funding. But all of those commitments are contingent upon additional support from county, state, towns. And I'll get into a little bit more of that in a minute. United Wireless, which was, in my opinion, a great meeting last week, they are in the planning stages. They, everyone that knows Union knows that over the last 15 years, they have built nothing but microwave around the state. They bragged about their microwave network. They bragged about bypassing CenturyLink and having better broadband at better prices because they were bypassing and primarily the CenturyLink method of doing business. About 4 years ago, they changed the strategy to fiber, primarily because of the amount of use on the internet in the last few years, and because on their wireless side, LTE is just consuming bandwidth in unbelievable quantities. They are in the process of starting to build from Granger to Opal, and they've indicated by end of summer 2019, they plan on having built from Opal to 189, up 189 through LaBarge and on up into Pinedale. And they have the permitting in process already, which was for me a great find, hearing that they're going to do that. United Telephone has small operating area north of LaBarge. I'm sorry, that's United, not United, that's Union. They have a small operating area north of LaBarge. They have a small footprint into the county. It literally just follows 189 for about 8 miles north. And they are offering 10 down, one up in that area. There are sections of the county, the south part of the county, both west and east of 189, where there is no incumbent telephone company provider, where a lot of, in the between 189 and the eastern border, where we have a lot of the oil activity, the oil wells are providing their own service via microwave and local Wi-Fi networks and picking up the SCADA data that they need that way. This one, if you're interested, this tells you what the different speeds that you could expect over the different types of technologies. So what were the speeds from our speed test? We had 47 different people or businesses that provided speed tests. There were 46 sites. One site had a residence and a business line that both reported. There were 35 residents, 12 business. We did a total of 147 tests. 23 of the tests were all at the 5:30 time frame on May 17th. I highlighted numbers in red that were horrible. Big Piney residents, we only had one test, but it was 0.8 and 0.17. The Boulder area, we had as high as 10.25 from some people and as low as 2.06. And on the upload side, we were as high as almost 2 and as low as 0.37. Cora was pretty bad across the line. 1.5 is their high. Hoback Ranches, 1.7 is the high of the tests we got out of there. We only got 4. But the upload speeds were absolutely unbelievable, 0.18. And dial-up internet used to be faster than that. Mm. Hoback Ranches did have 2 people, I'm sorry, that should be 2, reporting that used Usenet. One of them was experiencing 47.21, which was $175 a month. And the other was reporting 10.71, which was about $100 a month. Marbleton, 1.47, with a low on the upload. Pinedale in town was 10.07 as the high and 0.66 as the low. And they had 0.81 and 0.25 on the upload side, the 0.25 again being pretty horrible. Pinedale businesses were mostly under individual case-based pricing agreements. These were all Verizon customers. One business reported 47.09. We found out the other day during our meeting with CenturyLink that the Hampton gets 50 megabit. They pay $800 a month for a 50 megabit link. CAF 2 auction. This is a list. It goes a little further down off the page. Sublet County is in line right now for the highest amount of dollars from the CAF auction, which at this point is $2,990,000 a year for 10 years. They indicate that there are 3,242 living locations within the county that do not have 10 megabit or higher. That 10 megabit is based on what CenturyLink has provided as what they sell, not what is delivered. And when you get a copy of this, if you want to scan down through what everyone's getting, you can scan down further on that page. The CAF service area that is going to auction is the county plus this island of CenturyLink service down around Farson. Those are all included in the FCC CAF, census blocks for Sublette County. According to CenturyLink, the the intersection there on Farson of 191 and 28 has, within a mile radius, about 40 locations. The rest of that green area has 11 living locations. CAF. FCC is still in progress, developing the final plans for the CAF auction. All data and funding is based on census blocks and living locations. It's based on communications with current information available from the FCC. Wyoming is eligible. Wyoming eligible carriers, ETCs, they have to be registered with Wyoming PSC, and they have to have gone through a ETC certification to apply for the funding. That leaves out a couple of the existing service providers. FCC currently thinks that 54% of the county is covered with 10 megabit or better. That's living locations, not necessarily people. And that leaves 46% of the living locations are underserved. And those are the locations that equates to $2.9 million a year in CAF potential funding. Sublet ETCs eligible for only, ETCs only are eligible for that funding, which comes to $29.9 million over the 10 years just for Sublet County. On average, that's $922 per eligible living location. One of our fears is that if some of these wireless companies provide data to the FCC, the 477 forms, that they have extended their service and that they are going to offer telephone, because you have to offer telephone service, not just internet, in order for the coverage area to be included. But if someone registers that they have put up a tower, they've extended their reach, and yes, they do provide telephone service, it could reduce the number of living locations that are eligible for funding, and which therefore would reduce the dollars that are made available. There are a couple of things that have come up since the last time I talked about CAF funding. They are now going to allow vendors or bidders to exclude certain extreme cost areas. And after they select a bidder that is awarded the funding, that bidder can then apply for extreme cost funding for the areas that they excluded. But the extreme cost dollars and locations have not been determined. Literally, if three companies bid, and they bid different extreme cost areas, there could be three different values of extreme cost funding available a year after the bids are let. So that's still in movement. Only ETCs that have strong financial and technical background will qualify. There will be a pre-qualification step, and then there'll be the actual bid. If only one bidder wins, then they're going to expedite getting the funding out. It could be 3 to 6 months shorter time frame if only one qualified bidder bids for the funding. Currently, we only know of one ETC other than CenturyLink that intends to bid. So we met last week with CenturyLink. Representative Summers, Tom Noble, myself, the mayor of Pinedale, Sam, and a couple other folks. And we basically got a lot of non-committal. Everything was stated as, we're looking at it. If it meets our financial criteria, we will do it. If it makes sense, we will do it. The only thing that they said that was a solid was they were not going to apply for USDA funding because it had too many restrictions and requirements. So as of last Friday, CenturyLink had not yet decided to apply for CAF funding. my comments, consultant's opinion. Based on the FCC CAF 2 auction current rules, I do not believe any bidder could make a good business case in Sublette County without additional funding. We know one other vendor that's been pretty straightforward with us has made that point. CenturyLink didn't bid for the original round of funding because we're too remote, there's too much expense, and it doesn't meet their ROI. And the only other bidder, which might be Visionary, has indicated that since the CAF rules now allow excluding the extreme cost areas, that if there is funding, additional support dollars besides the CAF funding, they too might apply for the CAF funding.
So that was CenturyLink's approach in the past. I mean, what do you think about them now?
So they made a point when we first met with them that since they've acquired level 3, mm-hmm. that their operating methodology may change. But when we asked them direct questions about leasing fiber, buying fiber, leasing wavelengths, mm-hmm. or leasing circuits from point to point within the county, they were noncommittal mm-hmm. on all of those points. Could they change? Level 3 has been the largest, what we call carrier's carrier, in the country for years. And they sold, leased, rented, everything. Mm. If you wanted a conduit where they had conduit, you could either buy it, do a long-term prepaid lease, we call that an IRU. You could lease it on a year-to-year, five-year basis. Same thing with either fiber or large capacity circuits. A wavelength could carry 100 gigabit and you can control it. Today and for the last 10, 15 years, well, since CenturyLink took over at running Quest, their game plan is they will only sell managed services, and it's expensive. And that's why, for example, UnionTel put up microwave all over the place, because it was, although they couldn't get the bandwidth they might have liked, because microwave doesn't quite get you there. It was substantially cheaper than dealing with CenturyLink. And the other big plus was it bypassed, in a lot of cases, BLM restrictions on building in BLM-covered areas. So CenturyLink made it pretty clear that they are trying to get state assistance, they are trying to get other agencies to provide additional dollar assistance for them to go after the funding for Wyoming, after the CAF funding. If they don't, my opinion, if they don't get the support they want throughout the whole state, they will not bid Sublette as a standalone location. They would have hell to pay, I think, politically for doing that if they bid one location like Sublette, because maybe Sublette is putting up additional support dollars. That's, again, my personal opinion. So, who can apply for CAF 2 auction funding? They have to be they have to have Wyoming State ETC status. CenturyLink obviously has it. NGL does not. LR Computers does not. Wyoming.com does not. Both UnionTel and Union Wireless are, and have been for years, certified ETC. Visionary informed me a couple weeks ago, and this was verified by Tom Wilson at the Wyoming PSC, that Visionary has applied for ETC certification and they are pushing to get it approved by October 31st. And that's an important date because that is the last day that Wyoming issues ETCs for the year. And in order to apply for the funding, they have to be ETC certified by the state. So they have to get it by the 31st. Whether or not they've indicated they would not be bidding. They will be bidding selectively around the state. but they will not be bidding on sublet unless there is additional support dollars that comes in on top of the CAF funding. Silver Star, I already mentioned earlier, Silver Star came in with pretty good plans for the county. They already have laid out where they think they need to put up towers, future where they think fiber to the home might be good options, but they too have indicated unless there's some additional support funding, the CAF dollars alone will not support what they need to do in the county. So we've interviewed, I've been through this, I interviewed the potential providers, and I've been through all these. So part of what we're I'm supposed to do is determine where there is long haul and or broadband capacity currently exists in the county or closely adjacent. Within the county, CenturyLink is the only company with fiber in the county today. What I've marked on the map here is that the upper quadrant is an old CenturyTel route between just this side of Bondurant and town is the old Pinedale telephone fiber route. CenturyLink then built fiber from the downtown area down south of the 351 intersection. And there's a cabinet there where you can where the old fiber ended. CenturyLink also built fiber from Daniel Junction down to the south end of their service area, which is about 4 miles south of Big Piney. And if you know what you're looking for, if you're driving up from the south end at mile marker 102.6, there's the first fiber marker. Now, here's one of the problems. The fiber coming down from Jackson through the CenturyTel route and through the old PTI route is only a 12 fiber system. The current system that they've been using for years is what we call a sonnet system that requires 4 fibers. The new system that they put up for to meet the statewide unified network system takes at least 2 fibers, and between downtown Pinedale and going up to Mount Airy, they've used at least 2 fibers. Okay. So there's at least 8 of their 12 fibers going north of Pinedale that are in service. We have not been able to confirm, and they, by the way, we asked them directly, both written and orally, for an indication of how many fibers they had in the different sections of the route, and they said that was something they were definite about. They were not going to tell us the routes, and they were not going to tell us how many fibers were in the route, and they were not going to tell us how many were in use. Yeah. So we've been picking around trying to find out what we can. I have no idea.
Is that like a trade secret or what?
Yeah. They would seem to think so, but it's just them posturing is what it really is. And they don't want you to know what they don't have.
That's probably the best way to put it.
They don't want to admit that they don't have near as much as they want you to believe they have.
Right.
If you're willing to pay for it, they can make the old stuff work and do more if you want to write the check, but they don't want to tell you that.
They built a new route in order to make the and be awarded the statewide unified contract. They got about 90% of that statewide contract, which was for 100 gig network. They extended the fiber that ended just south of 351 on 191. They extended it into Rock Springs. They did that in 2014. They finished it about 6 weeks prior to the state contract turning up. It was a 24 count fiber and it is direct buried. That means there is no conduit. The fiber has a thick jacket or a what we call gopher-proof steel jacket plus a outer jacket of the polyurethane, but it's direct buried into the ground. There is no conduit. And they, and that is a 24 count fiber, and it runs, I won't tell you how I know, but it runs from where the old fiber ended all the way down into their CO in Rock Springs, and that CO in Rock Springs has access to all nine of the trans US routes that come along parallel I-80. There are some short parallels that come off of that, or laterals that come off of that route. There's a lateral that goes up past Ridley's and up the hill past the cemetery and follows the lake and gets fairly close to one of the towers that fire and police use. There is a fiber route that goes around near Hogsback, but then it's not marked. None of their fiber is marked with their name. The old PTI build is marked as PTI. So I've traced fiber that goes around the backside and around by Hogsback, but first of all, that's out of their area, goes into Union, but there is fiber that goes part of the way over near the Hogsback area. Where is fiber in the region? So right in the middle here, we have what I've just discussed. That is the CenturyLink fiber. That's the new path that was added. There's fiber that comes down here from what was referred to as the Cowboy Network, which is owned by Silver Star, All West, and Syringa. Du Bois Telephone. I'm sorry, up here. Du Bois and the Cowboy Network finished this route about a year and a half, 2 years ago, that now gives connections circuitously all the way back into I-25 and then from there into Denver. This route from Jackson on down is owned by the three or four companies. One leg goes around past my place in Utah. Another leg comes down along Cokeville and to Sage Creek Junction. From Sage Creek Junction, it goes back into Utah, back into Wyoming, and comes into Evanston. CenturyLink has fiber going from Evanston across I-80 and then up into Kemmerer. It is only the old TDM type of service on it. They are not offering any internet protocol services in that area. Lincoln County recently built 30 miles of fiber. They weaved up and down through the streets of Diamondville and Kemmerer, and then about a 26-mile run over to Sage Creek Junction, where they met Silver Star, Zeringa, and All West. And since they built that, it has caused CenturyLink to go to the governor complaining. But I was part of that process, and they were requested to bid. And even after it was built, they were requested to manage the network, and they opted not to do it. They had told us the same thing about another option for building and managing a conduit. If they don't build it, if they don't own it, they're not going to maintain it. But they were given the option, but they complained to the governor that they were being, that the state funding was making it easy for competition to beat them. Coincidentally, since this link was built, the county has sold two of the conduit, and there's now a request for the third, so they're going to bid for the third, again allowing, that's what it was. They told us they weren't going to bid on the third conduit, the last remaining. So the county's just about going to recoup 100% of that investment in recovery costs. But since they've done that, my understanding is about 23 businesses have converted over to the new supplier, one of the new service providers. This is the statewide map. I'm not going to go into detail. For us, the important part is marked here. One important thing, Union Telephone has built actually from Rollins through to
Fort Bridger?
Yes, by Fort Bridger, but not Fort Bridger.
Lyman.
They built to Lyman. The build that we were talking about with them about them building, as they came past Little America, they went up partially a few miles up 30 and they dropped fiber into Granger. This, it's going to sound like I'm beating on CenturyLink. So this is the state, the CenturyLink's map of the state and up into Montana. When they bid the statewide network, they bid to come down from Jackson through Pinedale and then down to Rock Springs. And if you look at the state's unified network, the area to the west, Afton, everything along through Star Valley, Evanston and Kemmerer, Green River were excluded from being directly on the statewide network. But they have leased fiber through here, and they've had it for years, and it's leased from All West and Silver Star and Zeringa that own those routes. But they opted to come through here and build this other link here in order to provide the network rather than using fiber that they had already been leasing. Not exactly sure why that was done, but it sure has people over here a little upset about being excluded on that statewide network. That's another picture of the statewide network. What internet speeds are available around the county? We have 25 megabit and 50 megabit, 150 megabit available. And I'm going to have to get up. In Lander and Du Bois, Lander just was in the papers the other day for an agreement they did with UnionTel. There's 6 megabit was our high end in the Boulder area. Equal to or less than 10 megabit in Pinedale and Big Piney, actually substantially less in the Big Piney Marbleton area, less than 2 megabit up in Bondurant. Jackson Victor, 25 meg, 50 meg, 150 meg, and 1 gig. 150 meg throughout the Silver Star service area is 175 a month. People up in Hoback Ranches that have use satellite, 175 for 25 meg. Substantially better rates and speeds. They're offering the same speeds throughout. There's a wonderful map on their website. It shows the fiber network that they've built. That fiber net weaves all through Idaho and the Star Valley. And they are offering 25, 50, 100, 50, and 10, 1 gig throughout their service area. Interestingly, you can't subscribe to anything less than 25 in those areas. Montpelier, which is not a Silver Star serviced area, is offering 25 and 50 meg. So in our area, there are those other companies that are providing service. They're offering 25, 10, 25, and 50 meg in our service area. Cost comparison, 150 meg, $175 a month from Silver Star. The alternate service providers here in our area, one of them is 50 meg for $129 a month, and the other Visionary is $59 for 50 meg a month. And we're looking at 45, their advertisement shows 45, but I've analyzed 4 different bills in the Pinedale area, and it's closer to $75 for a 10 meg sold circuit. If you get a little further out of the Pinedale area, you're paying for a distance charge, which could take it higher than that by up to another $16. General information about long-term current fiber optic cables facility, I've been through that, the 12 count, the 6 count. Due to the minimal fiber counts in the current facilities, this leaves sublight in a fiber poor position, even if the fibers could be acquired and used for either the short or long-term improvement. Basically, there's not enough fiber in the existing fiber network to really utilize it and to deploy any short-term plan, let alone a long-term plan. Any plan to provide substantial short and long-term improvement of the county life safety, connectivity, and the general internet access will require the deployment of fiber optic cable and multiple conduits throughout the core of the county. And I consider the core 189, 191, 351, 352, going up north, areas like that. I do want to make is no plan will be successful if the citizens are indecisive about taking service from a different provider. We've had three different providers that have been in the area for a couple of years, and there's been minimal uptake on them, although we still hear a lot of complaints about how poor the internet service is, which is primarily everyone complaining about CenturyLink.
But they're staying with CenturyLink.
I understand that recently LR has made, one thing, NGL is not really heavy selling. LR has been out selling a lot recently, and he has picked up quite a few customers in the last couple months.
Okay.
And so far, everyone's happy with him.
I changed to him. I'm thrilled.
Hopefully it stays that way for a while. Short-term plan. Short-term plan is basically getting fiber in the ground and starting to provide construction of fiber and conduit from the 189, 191 corridors up into the hills, which will allow us to do two things. The county fire and police network, which was looking at going with WyoLink, has opted to look at alternatives. If the alternatives require funding, then some of that funding could offset some of the funding that would be required for a standalone internet access. If we build conduit and or fiber to some of the hilltops where the fire and sheriff's department towers are, we could use that same conduit and fiber to bring other service providers to those towers, to those mountaintops quicker, which means that the more remote areas could start getting radiated with 25 meg or 50 meg from the guys like NGL, LR, Visionary. This plan, as I've outlined, would include building some fiber from Pinedale south on 191 to the, not all the way to the end of the county line, but several miles past 351. It would include building some fiber north of Daniel Junction, going up, if not all the way to Bondurant, most of the way. And the reason I'm saying, after our meeting with Union Telephone, I think we should get behind Union Telephone. We should make every effort possible to help them get in and built as quick as possible, because they are pretty determined that they're going to build fiber from Opal up 189 in through LaGrange and then on up into Pinedale, because they have existing towers that are way short. They said during the eclipse they had virtually no service because it was so congested. They don't want anything like that to happen again, although there's no eclipse plan for 75 years. Their usage is still going up. They said all of their existing towers fed by the highest capacity microwave today are still hitting points where they are oversaturated during the summer. But they want to put up a few more towers. And guess what? A couple more towers on the same sites that the fire and the police department are looking on, if it's planned accurately, would be great locations for them. And they could be buying conduit or fiber back to get to those locations. We need to continue to work with the one or two providers that are indicating they're going to go after CAF funding. I think we need to start talking seriously about how the county, the towns, I've met twice now with Wyoming Business Council talking about community rent readiness funding. I think we need to start seriously looking at what can be brought to the table, because by next summer, when CAF auction starts, we only have two alternatives other than potentially CenturyLink. And if we don't have, if neither of those companies think that there's additional support coming, they're not going to go for the CAF funding. What I found out last week, and I'm meeting on Thursday in Riverton with USDA. It has not been announced yet, but USDA in March of next year is going to have significant amount of money available for underserved and unserved in Wyoming. The dollar value is not set yet. A fair amount, I'm told by Roger Meeks, would be in the Sublette County area. And for them, as for and their grants, they're not loans, they are looking at 25 meg at a living location as being the minimum to qualify. So everything here is under 25 meg. So a significant amount of the area that today is not included in CAF funding will be brought into play when they're considering how much funding to make available for this USDA grant. So that's the last part. We need to also make sure that we understand how we want to go about going after that USDA grant. USDA would allow the county to request the funding so the county can manage what is done with it. But the county would have to request it in conjunction with a qualified fiber construction company. We can find those. If the county doesn't want to be in the line of that revenue stream, we need to make sure that whoever is going for the CAF funding will also apply for the USDA grant money, and therefore, and that since that is sooner than the CAF funding, I think they need to know what the county, the state, and the towns are willing to provide as support. Now, what is support? Just like Lincoln County, it's been tested. It's been through the state legislature, it's been contested, and it's been approved. The county, the towns can get state funding. They can put their own funding in. You can buy infrastructure. You can have the infrastructure put in place, and then you can put that infrastructure up to what is called carrier neutral bid. And you can let anyone, CenturyLink, Silver Star, Union, whoever, bid on using those facilities. The three conduits that were built in Lincoln County, two have already been sold. They had a request for the third. Like I said earlier, they're going to put that out to bid because it's the last one left. So they're about to recoup almost 85% of what was spent. And the difference is what they're paying for maintenance of that network that they built. County and towns working with internal funding, Wyoming Business Council, business ready grants, endow funding, legislative body pulling together. Been a lot of talk in the governor's office with endow. The Business Alliance had some, Wyoming Business Alliance had a independent study done. We are not allowed access to it, but from what I'm hearing, it is basically saying the same thing I'm saying. We're hurting. The state is hurting in general. There needs to be something done to improve the broadband and what that is. They reference, I understand, the Lincoln County project. They reference what Evanston is doing, which is basically the same as what Lincoln County did. So there's a lot of push throughout the state that something needs to be done to improve broadband. I think the county, when I say the county now, I'm referring to the county, the towns, and whatever funding can be brought together. The county works with qualified construction company to meet the requirements to apply for the USDA grant, which I mentioned earlier. That way you can control what is built and how and where. The county develops conduit fiber, hut, and cabinet specifications. I can give you copies of that stuff. The county works with the fire and sheriff's department. I assume that would be Dave and whoever in his staff to determine tower sites that are needed and obtain right-of-way leases, grants of land, or whatever as needed to get sites that would be able to be used by both the county's infrastructure as well as third-party service providers that would obviously be licensed systems being installed instead of unlicensed. There would be clearances from one tower to the next. And in the long term, that'll reduce the number of towers we see popping up all over the place. When I was coming up out of Kemmerer today, about 3 miles out of town, there was a ridge line up there that I counted 17 towers on it. Looked like hell, and I thought, I sure hope Mount Airy doesn't wind up looking like that. County works, county project manages the development of the RFP for tower site construction. I would assume someone like Dave would pull together the national tower engineering requirements for building towers, everything to do with the slab they're built on, the construction, how they're anchored, all of that stuff. County project manages developing the RFP for conduit fiber, hut, and cabinet installation. County lets bids on tower sites and fiber network. County directly acquires significant construction material to save cost. And the county has a project manager which could save 15 to 20% of project cost. If you turn it over to a company to run the system, they're going to have their markup, and then they're going to hire general contractors. If you do that general management or the project management of the project, you might have to pay someone $150 a year, but you could save $500,000-$600,000 in the overall in building out the short-term portion of what is being suggested. Long term, so here's short term. Building north of Daniel Junction, building from Pinedale South, building in on 351. There's currently a DSL service system at 110 and 351 that serves backwards towards there's a community near the intersection of 351 and 189 of about 70 homes in there that could be backfed off of that fiber route, or could potentially be a fiber to the home location. A route that would be built over towards Hogs Back, unless we can find who owns the existing fiber, and maybe if it's not CenturyLink, there could be some use of that fiber without building a new one. Long-term plan would be to continue to build. The long-term plan eventually, in both the short and the long-term plan, if we look at the long-term and if we agree that 6, 7, 8 years out, that within Pinedale, Big Piney, Marbleton, parts of Bondurant, part of the ranches, Barger, that those are good locations for potential fiber to the home. As a matter of fact, if you drive down from Daniel Junction in the town, there's about a 2 mile stretch where there's two homes deep on either side. Those would be ideal to pre-plan as you're building fiber down through there, or as Union is building fiber down through there, put an extra conduit or two in the ground, or put additional fiber plus an extra conduit in the ground, and now you've got 80% of your cost done for putting fiber to the home, to those homes in that location. And fiber to the home, in a lot of communities, the consumer pays an installation fee to get from their house to that fiber connection point. So the long-term plan is to continue to build some more fiber in the county. Probably better if I just jump into the map. We would build fiber along a few routes. We would complete a route through 351. We would add in the short term down by Big Sandy, there would be a lateral built. In the long term, we would extend about 8 miles further to hit another point that would cover the southeast portion with radio. We would build off up from Boulder. We would build out north of Marbleton into the hills, and then we would build fiber to the home infrastructure around Pinedale, around Barger, around Big Piney, Marbleton. And I have driven the Hoback Ranches area several times. I've looked at it as what it would take to build radio antennas to put wireless up there. We would have to build about 3/4 of the length of the rim road and put up 3 or 4 antennas, which would need power, battery backup, or some type of a backup system, and would have to have something sticking up over the trees and the future growth of the trees to radiate out and cover the area. If you're building 3/4 of the mile and then you're putting up infrastructure towers at 40,000 or so a piece on the low end, and you're putting power to them, which requires monthly power payments, and if you're putting in battery systems and all the other kinds of infrastructure to keep that operating, you've got a significant amount of cost, both short term but also long term, in managing it. Fiber to the home is based on what is called gigabit passive optical network. You don't need power. The power is back at the main location. We could run fiber from here all the way out to Myrna, and in Myrna we could put a splitter that does not require power, and that splitter, one fiber, could split to 32, and each of those 32 could split to 5. We could cover that area with a GPON system, fiber to the home, and have no ongoing costs, because we wouldn't be requiring, I'm sorry, when I said Myrna, I meant Hoback Ranches. We wouldn't have requirements for ongoing power at those locations. We wouldn't have ongoing maintenance of additional hardware that required power that could be frozen or too hot in the summer. That's one of the great things about GPON and fiber to the home. That's what Google is building in 15 different cities right now. It's all GPON. They have electronics in concentrated locations. You can go 38 to 43 miles, depending upon manufacturer, before you hit a splitter. That splitter can split to 32 and feed 8 miles away to the next splitter. Those splitters can go 3 miles. And once it leaves that main location, you don't have to deal with power. That's kind of the long-term plan, as I see it, would be eventually getting the denser population areas, or areas where putting too many radio links up would be costly and long-term high cost. Option one. Does anyone want to take a break, or am
We're out of time, actually. But
so option one, I'm saying
okay.
The short and long term I just described.
Okay.
Lots of benefits.
Okay.
Downside, county and towns would need to provide $5.5 to $6.5 million in infrastructure. You would own the infrastructure. You would have someone manage it. That's the initial outlay. You would also get cost recovery as people start using it. Part of that cost would be consumed by, I think, the fire and sheriff's network if they're not going to go with someone like WildLink. And I know we're out of time. In WildLink, if CenturyLink provided and built fiber from the backbone up to one of the tower sites, no one else would be allowed in it under the current operating systems. If you built it, you could lease fiber to anyone else that wants to get up there.
Okay.
I see a potentially a $3 to $5 million additional investment in later years, like from year 2, 3, or 4 on. But USDA monies would need to be looked at, and there may be additional FCC money. The county and towns may have to partner with someone to build the fiber. I'll jump, and there's obviously there's like 4 pages of positives or pros for doing that. There's surplus Google City materials available right now. So this is the type of a hut that Google deploys in their Google cities, and this is what you have on the existing incumbents fiber network coming in, and this is up at the south end of the Hoback Junction. You would have, instead of direct buried cable, 12 fiber or 24, no fiber in remote areas, you would wind up with multiple conduits, all fiber in conduit. 96 count fiber or 144 to 218 and fiber in several remote areas. Option two is to sit back, still try to come up with funding, but wait for CenturyLink to see if CenturyLink is going to apply for the funding. And the third option is do nothing, continue with CenturyLink service, and the pros are little or no money from the county. CenturyLink indicates they're going to upgrade their present, where you get 10 meg today, that you should be able to get 20 meg, and the existing 5 wireless companies will continue to pop up towers and provide service. We may see 1 or 2 more come into town. The cons are you're still going to have to spend money for the fire and sheriff's network. And additional unlicensed wireless providers could result in interference with the county network. There is another page of cons on that, but basically that's where I'm coming from, that for a long-term plan, it's not going to happen. Good things aren't going to happen unless some additional money comes in besides the CAF funding, and if we don't support the non-incumbent bidders for the CAF funding, we won't have non-incumbent bidders.
Okay. All right. Gentlemen, questions for Joe?
You mentioned you sent this to Mary. I'm sure you'll forward it to us.
I'll forward it to you guys, and I'm happy to forward it to anybody in the public as well. So I'll make a list. I'll get you.
Okay. And I can do the same if anyone wants to email me. I will send it out.
Yeah, this is something we need to spend some time with.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, just a question for Joe, or possibly Albert might have some idea, if the Endow program envisions at any point of asking the legislature for funding that could be used for upgrading services around the state for grant or cost share. That sort of thing. Have you heard anything along those lines, Albert?
I'm pressing that. I don't know that I've got there yet, but...
We have chatted with Jeremiah Ryman several times. Jeremiah has indicated that this is extremely high priority throughout the state, not just for sublet, and that he is behind trying to, although he's not one of the legislators, he is behind trying to push for requests for funding that was denied last time, to go after funding that would be able to be made available. But there's no guarantee,
yeah,
obviously.
I don't think Dow has decided what route to take with broadband other than it's a priority in their high in their priority list. And I assume that that will be coming out by not the end of the summer, then the next go around.
The I volunteered to sit in on Dow meetings relative to broadband. A gentleman from Sheridan that owns Ptolemy Data Centers, someone from Green Data Center in Cheyenne has volunteered to be on it. So there's several outside of the government folks that have volunteered that are knowledgeable in data and fiber networks and broadband, not just fiber, that are volunteering to help with input into the Endow program.
And I got from the CenturyLink meeting, when CenturyLink said that they, you know, that they would consider CAF funding with help, I got that as a signal that that's probably a signal that they're going to give the state, and whether the state buys off, you know, nips on that bit of fishing or not, I'm not sure, but that was, I don't know why else they would have said that unless they're trying to get money out of the state to do it. So yeah, that would be my guess, is they may see an opportunity, which is better than no opportunity. I mean, otherwise we may not get any.
Joe, would you touch base on the fact that you and Pete and Albert are all pushing the federal FCC to change their CAF funding? And Pete from the Wyoming County Commissioner Association is helping.
Right. One major change, since when I first started on this, the rule said you could not exclude extreme cost areas. Now you can. And the other major change since I started on this with sublet is that they are now going to allow you to exclude, the high cost areas will now be able to be excluded, and then additional funding will be made available to get to the high cost areas.
Mm-hmm. Joe was on a meeting with FCC of Jeremiah, and the FCC had five lawyers in there.
Five lawyers from the FCC on the phone call.
So I think they've got the hint, and then I've asked Jeremiah to try to get with our congressional delegation and then like Pete and see if we can get a meeting to have a discussion with the delegation about how we make the FCC money more worthwhile and worldwide.
The governor of Pennsylvania and the U.S. senators from Pennsylvania approached the FCC about the same time we did about the extreme cost areas. And although they did not say that that was what changed their mind, about 2 months ago there was a document that came out saying that they were going to allow some locations extreme costs to be excluded, and then they would, and they're not saying how much money, because each vendor that applies can bid on a different number of locations, but the leftover money, there's $2 billion left over that the phone companies didn't request in 2014 and 15. That money is going out for anyone that wants to bid on it. What's left over will then potentially all go into the extreme cost funds. So there could be a big number that's available for extreme costs. There could be a small number. We just don't know right now. But I think we need to stay on top of, when I say we, the county or someone, we'll need to stay on top of that over the next year and a half.
I think one of the most glaring contrasts is if you look at Silver Star what is it, 100 meg or 150 meg for $150 a month, and CenturyLink was a basically 100 meg or something like that for $800 a month.
50 meg.
How can we compete? How can Wyoming compete with Idaho right across our border when the discrepancy is $600 and some a month difference for a business? It's a, you know, I mean, if we can't sell that to the state, that there's, you know, we want to be business friendly, we need to figure out a way to equalize that a little bit.
If fiber is built through town, literally coming down 191, literally every business within 3-4 blocks of that could have 150 meg, 1 gig service. You come out of the underground, you can hit the poles and you can take fiber down the street to the business on the poles, which becomes a lot less expensive than staying underground.
And these guys have heard this story, but last week I was asked to go make a talk in a county in Montana north of the Muscle Shell River. The whole county's got 500 people in it, and I stayed on a rancher's place. I said, well, what do you got for internet? Well, we got fiber to the home. County of 500, and over half the people in the county have fiber to the home. And it's because they had a co-op provider that give a damn and went after federal grant money, got the grant money, and that county's at least half connected with fiber to the home. And I don't know how you crack this nut. I haven't figured it out exactly, but I appreciate you guys at least taking the time to investigate it.
Joe, give us some time to digest. This is a lot to digest.
You want me to come back at 4?
In 1 hour? No.
By the way, my I just invoiced today. That takes me a little over 60% of my contract. I told Tom the other day that for the next few months, 3-4 months, even past the first snowfall, I will be glad to keep going under the terms of that agreement. My agreement originally didn't say USDA, but I'm going to go after USDA. I'm going to continue to work with the FCC, and I'll stay with you for several more months and not increase the cost of the contract.
That sounds really good.
First snowfall, Mike.
But I was just going to say, if you're going first snowfall, you'll be gone next week.
I've got 3 snowmobiles sitting in my garage, so I'm waiting for this winter to come back up here.
Sounds good. Give us some time to go through this presentation again.
Yep.
And we'll be in touch.
All right. There will be a larger finished product. It'll get into a little more detail.
Good.
How to build, estimated costs by town and such.
We'll have more time to go through that on our own.
Great. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Joe. Let's see, we need to get your, you want to close that and we'll get your jump drive out.
Thanks.
Is that my phone?
That was mine. Mine was the yellow one. Yeah, I don't want to leave that. It has my
other stuff on it.
Tax. My 12 years of income tax.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Thanks for all your hard work.
You're welcome.
Well, John's going to be on Friday.
Okay. Awesome.
North of Georgia.
Pretty significant.
Let alone what legislation.
I have seen it. I haven't.
Finish this day.
That's the joy of being the chairman. You be the dad, you buy lunch.
I heard Doc thinking that was going to be his next thing.
What?
Chairman when Andy retires.
You bet.
Good. Hey, you get more money, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You get paid real well. Yeah.
Yes, you do get more money. Just go with that.
Well, yeah.
We keep buying hospitals and broadband and everything else. We ain't going to have any money left.
You may have many left. Period. Once we get Joel sat down, I'll have somebody make a motion.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Andy?
Yeah.
When I said that he may want to be in open session, maybe executive session.
Okay, let's find out what he wants to do first.
Yeah, okay. I'll bring him up and then he'll okay. tell you what he wants.
Okay.
Yeah, this is nothing money can't solve, right?
Oh my gosh. I'm sure you were on the phone with Jurgensen already. You haven't
write a check.
I'm sure you were on the phone with Jurgensen already.
Option one. Write a check.
Sure. I left a message with Brian.
I knew that one.
It wouldn't be there.
That's right.
They forget these things.
Yeah,
we haven't had this discussion in law enforcement.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, on this side. I don't want to be on that side. You're pretty comfortable over here, aren't you? Between your zoning and how your news.
Yeah.
Do we go into executive
session? Yeah, we're going to make sure.
Fine.
That John
how are you doing?
To.
Okay.
You
okay.
To talk to
you. What's going on?
Let's get it on.
Yeah.
I need to get out of here.
I know all of us do. Did you get everything
finished? I'm going to
did you get everything bailed?
No, no.
No,
no
we're
we still got about 3-4 days of bonus.
You going to be there all 3 days?
No.
Can't either.
Our crew's leaving.
I'll go Thursday. And
Craig, just be down the list.
You and Cotton.
Yeah. I'll go. Oh, geez.
And Susan and Carrie part of the time.
Yeah.
I'll be sitting in the back with you.
Okay.
I'd offer to help, but I'm leaving.
Full circle the last time.
So are you. Maybe I'll go with you.
No,
I'm glad I took that red beer back.
I just had a conversation
we're
with Kay.
Just teasing each other.
Yes.
Tom,
well, you guys need to be there.
Had a conversation with Kay.
You guys need to be there.
I'm not going to be there. I've got responsibilities.
Well, so do I.
Well, I understand that, but I've waived it. And I've sent it. Yeah, evidently, my representatives are coming.
No, I've been worn up
by
him.
I've been called a son of a bitch just about enough. I'm very honest with you.
Have they used that word?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, it was the MF word.
Have I?
Oh, they've used the
they've
F
used
word.
They've used work.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Wow. You should have heard. It's on the recorder.
It's on the recorder.
Wow. Yeah.
And all I did was told them what they wanted to hear.
At this time.
But, you know, being an old coach.
Anyway.
I've been called worse by much better people.
By better people. I've been called worse by better people.
I've got to remember that one.
Yeah.
We have been stoned enough.
Yeah. I need that. Yeah.
Working with the children, people's children, brings out the worst in adults.
You know, in the end, you guys all got to figure it out.
Well, we do. You're absolutely correct. Absolutely. And you know what?
It's getting to the point that it's a bad deal.
We can't.
What do you mean getting to the point? Past that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I got.
The five of us can, but it'll just have to be the five of us.
Yeah.
We can get it figured out. But that's just me thinking.
Albert, I've had this trip planned for a year.
Oh, no, I get it.
Yeah. I just can't cancel this one.
No. There's weeks I can't get it done this day.
So yeah.
Depends on your calendar, whether you can do it or not.
Oh, man.
So did you have a pretty good turnout Sunday?
Yeah, there was, you know, not as many as last year, which is good. There was probably 200.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Not bad.
Yeah.
And there were some people I have no idea who they were.
How did Norm do it?
Oh, fair. He seemed to enjoy it. He even could talk a little bit. He's still, you know, he's had some bad days, I guess.
Can you talk enough to communicate with him a little bit?
Who are you talking about?
Norm.
Oh.
Oh, did you get disconnected?
No.
Well, you know,
I disconnected.
Albert, we got chastised for giving them the money for that building 8 or 9, 10 years ago.
Oh, hi, this is Mary Langford.
The commission
again.
Did.
I
the
think commission it's ignoring
did.
Me.
And we got chastised because we gave the money and didn't ask for a business plan. We've been asking for a business plan for 3 years and still
don't hurry up. We only made right. Wait a half
I'm having
an
a hard
hour.
Time with
Jeez.
That. Now, I'll go to listen.
Yeah.
But that's all I'm going to do.
Red beer.
He's on the phone with somebody.
No, say anything.
Red beer. He didn't know me, red beer.
It's always a good
bet. That, ain't it?
It's always a good bet for me. If I win, I don't drink. So,
that's right.
Right? So you guys, ought to have red beer bets with me all the time.
I don't believe that. I'm not a big drinker either, but that'll be the best red beer I've drank in a long, long time.
Which one?
Every one I win from you.
You have won one, yeah.
I did too.
What?
We're on
newspaper.
To
you even called to remind me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't know you were
I'm
going to
do my business while we're waiting
for
you to come on the phone.
John, I didn't know you had already planned this.
I didn't.
Mary's got a little business for us here before we go into.
There's an abatement.
Okay. I put my pen away.
I got
already,
three
Mary.
Bonds. One's for David Nemitz.
Oh, yeah.
For Hoback Ranches. Roger Weber. Clerk Treasurer for Shelter Park, and Cindy Armstrong, the Deputy Clerk for the Town of Marbleton.
What does Roger do?
You're getting gray hair.
Roger Weber.
Weber.
It's his own job.
Secretary, or Clerk for the Shelter Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least I'm not losing it.
No, you're not like me.
You're still got it.
Wait.
Yeah,
wait a while.
If you guys recall, about 2 months ago or so, we got a letter from the Department of Health asking us to comment about the Title 25 gatekeeper deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And remember, they had suggested High Country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they've come back and suggested Jackson Hole Community Counseling, which is
who we are contracted with.
Who we're using right now.
Who we're using now.
Okay.
Probably what we would want to send a letter and say that
letter
we
support
that.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Okay. I have the proposals from Mr. Trowbridge for the mineral auditing, and he gave those to me at the last meeting, and I haven't wasted any time on those.
Okay, good.
I think you took the right approach.
You did.
Okay. Because Matt's really busy doing other stuff besides looking at some more contracts that we aren't going to approve, so.
Let's give it to Matt.
No, I'm not going to waste his time. Then, last thing that I have is that I have, if you'll recall when we did our board appointments back a couple months ago, the golf committee, I was short two on the golf committee.
Yeah.
I have two applicants. One of them was a renewal for Allison Long. She was had been on there for a short term, and she wrote me a letter. She wrote it actually to me in July, and to be reappointed. And then the other person that applied is Scott Cheney. You guys want to appoint them to the golf committee?
Is there still, did you really advertise that?
John?
I advertised.
John McKinley?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
This is Mac Ryan.
Okay.
Mac, how are you?
I'm good, John. I have one thing to say before we turn it over to the rest of the commission. You have been nominated by the Big Piney High School Distinguished Alumni. That was a mouthful, John.
That is a mouthful.
Knowing you the way I do. So when I come to Cheyenne, I'm going to bring some paperwork that you have to fill out.
Okay.
To tell everybody how famous you are.
There you go.
And congratulations. So I will turn this over to the chairman.
Thank you.
You betcha.
John, we've got just a quick motion we need to take care of really quick, and then we'll be right with you.
Okay.
All right. That's been moved.
Seconded.
What's that?
Who moved?
You did. Joe did. That we appoint the two applicants to the golf board as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And that's all my business.
Okay. Thank you, John. We are set now. This is Andy Nelson talking. We've got all the commissioners in here. We have Representative Summers, and we also have Matt Gaffney here with us from the county attorney's office. Would you like to proceed in open session or go into executive session, John?
Let's briefly go into executive session to discuss potential litigation.
Okay.
So moved, Mr. Chairman. Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we go in.